corner of this planet. George Norrie with you in our special guest for the next couple hours, Craig Hewlett. Craig, of course, has been a speechwriter, special assistant for special projects to the late Congressman Jack Metcalf. He has been a consultant to federal law enforcement, of course, appears quite often on our program as we talk about world events, and we're bringing him back now because it's time. Craig, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, George, as always.
What a night in Indiana, huh?
Not entirely unpredictable.
Nope.
I don't think Ted Cruz, he never appeared to me the kind of a guy that was going to be willing to slug it out with the likes of Donald Trump. Neither did Rubio, neither did Jeb Bush. None of them did, actually, to be honest with you. I think a lot of the things that we're seeing are caused by, and I think we can blame all of this, both Bernie Sanders and Trump, and I say blame, I mean that facetiously, on the American people. If nothing else, you and myself and Carl Nelson in D.C. And a number of hosts that have stuck with me for almost 40 years, I think the American people finally are fed up with what happens in the White House. And to be honest with you, I don't really care who wins, but I'm glad the American people are fed up. The only problem now is they were fed up with Obama. They were fed up once with Bush Sr. They were fed up with the Clintons. Then they got fed up with George Bush Jr. So this kind of isn't very new that we get fed up. That was what Samuel P. Huntington authored in his book on democracy, The Promise of Disharmony. That part of the title, The Promise of Disharmony, was an outline by him to spell out precisely what we're seeing. When the creedal passions erupt in the electorate, we give them a candidate to vote for, to throw the rascals out and put someone new in, new, different, a different Democrat, a different Republican, and then, of course, absolutely nothing changes.
You know what was interesting to it? I'm not going to take anything away from Trump because what he has done has been dramatic, very dramatic. But with all the candidates that were in originally, as the Republican list grew and grew and grew, they really couldn't field a great candidate to take off and run with it. You needed an outsider like Trump to come in who had his pulse on the public more so than anybody else. And look at what's happening. But why couldn't the Republicans, Craig, field a great Republican candidate?
Well, they thought they already had that in the bag. I mean, for years and years, going all the way back to George Jr., they were convinced that by backing Obama and him becoming the president, and they actually, this was said in a number of interviews. I repeated it over and over again. That 8 years of Obama, every single thing that's wrong in the country would be blamed on Obama, a black liberal Democrat, and the Republicans knew it would be a shoe-in. Unfortunately, in this case, fortunately in my opinion, the elite miscalculated that the public wasn't exactly as stupid and malleable, and Jeb Bush didn't get the bell. But that's what they were counting on. And actually, that is true, that part. Trump is blaming everything on Obama and Hillary Clinton. He says nothing bad about the Bush family, senior or junior. In fact, Donald Trump has bragged for decades that he's a Bush man.
Can we rule out the possibility that Jeb Bush won't pop up at that Republican convention in Cleveland?
No, I don't think it's possible now because it would have to be a contested convention, and that's over. That's not going to happen. I don't think Cruz welcomed the idea of the drubbing. You know, I could tell. I do a lot of work with unusual people in different fields of activity.
Yes, you do.
And I do understand people pretty well. I can judge a person somewhat by how they act, how they behave, their eye movement, their gestures when they're talking or trying to give a speech. And none of the candidates, except Jeb Bush, were prepared to even handle a rough and tumble convention. None of them. I could see the weakness in every single one of them except Jeb Bush. But fortunately, the public was fed up enough, and you know, I hope you and I may have had a little bit to do with Jeb Bush not winning it, because we constantly put out a drumbeat that Jeb Bush was supposed to be the shoe-in by the elite. So if nothing else, the elite got snubbed. But unfortunately, I'm going to repeat this. In the end, whether Hillary Clinton becomes president or Donald Trump becomes president, on all the issues that matter, nothing will change.
And see, that is the most disappointing aspect of all of this, because people are grasping with Donald Trump, hoping he's going to change the economy, fix the Internal Revenue Service, do what he has to do about illegal immigration. And you're right. He may not be able to do any of this.
Well, he can't. As president, he can't do any of it. He still needs the 535 civilian contractors that work for the corporate world that dominates our system. We still have that corporate empire in place. Now, they don't get to have their choice of who gets to be president this time, although I do know a lot of neoconservatives that were Bush fans, Bush followers, Bush people, actually. And I'll repeat, Donald Trump used to say, I'm a Bush man, and I am the establishment. So this idea that he's really outside the establishment isn't exactly true, if you understand what I'm talking about. He's always been an insider funding the Republican Party and that establishment of elites. He wants in. He isn't in yet. But getting the presidency, yes. He'll be in then. Just like before this, 8 years ago, Obama was nobody.
He came out of, from nothing. He just popped up.
He was a freshman senator that never actually cast a vote as a senator that counted.
I knew.
He became the president. But I'll repeat, I said this immediately after he was elected. He will disappoint the American people. Everybody that voted for him, he will not do anything he said he was going to do, and when he leaves the White House, he will, over the next few years, become the richest black man in the world.
Well, more power to him if he can pull it off. I knew in 2004, when he was giving the Democratic keynote address, that they had plans for this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because how unusual is it, Craig, that the keynote speaker then becomes the front runner 4 years later for the presidency? They had this plan, didn't they?
They always have it planned. They're not without a plan with Donald Trump. You know, I hope people understand this. When Donald Trump said he's an outsider and he's not part of the establishment, that he's a renegade, very little of that's true. He just never ran for office, and he has no track record.
That's right.
For running for office or being elected to office. But he was never outside the Republican Party as a funder, as a backer, as a speaker, as a promoter. And he bragged about it for decades that he felt that he was the establishment's man. He was a Bush man to the core. But nobody expected him to run for office either. But that's what a narcissist does.
When we come back, Craig, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. I want to get your take on what's going on in the Middle East with Assad in Syria. With the buzzing of our other jets by the Russians, I want to get your take on that. And, of course, the lunatic at the button of the nukes in North Korea. We'll talk about all that, too. Craig's website, that's his name, CraigBHewlett.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. So you don't even have to worry about spelling it out. You just go to coasttocoastam.com and click the link. He's also a noted author, The Hydra of Carnage. And, of course, don't forget to like us on Facebook, where we have gone through another milestone. And follow us on Twitter, because we send out daily a number of different quick blips of information that you should be a part of. And always go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, every day, a couple times a day, to get the latest in news and information. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us, and of course, we're going to take calls with Craig next hour here on Coast to Coast. Craig, before we move into some other areas, your take then on Hillary, she's just going to plod along and get enough delegates, won't she?
Well, Bernie just did an interview, and you know, I thought he was going to say something a little more important. He said that I've won 70% of the vote in 16 states. And she gets all the delegates. And he said, that's not fair.
Well.
Not fair? I think that is an indication that the Democratic Party, a little bit in a different way than the Republican Party, but both parties are totally and completely corrupt. That's the problem, is that the delegates are going to vote for Hillary because it was already decided Hillary is going to be the next president for the Democratic Party. How do we know that? Nobody else ran.
Nobody ran.
Remember what you said earlier? Mm-hmm. How many people lined up to run on the Republican Party ticket?
That's right.
Biden, the vice president. And the vice president always gets the nod. Not even Biden ran. The only real throwback here is Bernie. And the only thing he has to say to the American people is that it's not fair. No, it's totally and completely corrupt. And we're going to see the Republican convention just how corrupt that is when it comes around. All I can tell you is if you think that Trump or Hillary or Bernie can fix what's wrong in America, then you've completely missed the boat of what's going on in this country and who actually runs the country now.
This is going to be a nasty campaign. Craig, Jerry Corsi is going to be coming out with a book soon about the Clinton Foundation, and he said it's going to rocket. And you know what? Who knows what's been going on
there? Yeah, there's so much criminal activity on the Clinton side, but, you know, there was in the past with the Bush family. Those things really don't take the public by storm. And in the end, it would still be up to the already decided delegates. They keep calling the superdelegates undecided.
They're not undecided.
They've already decided. That's why they're going with Hillary.
That's right.
I don't understand the language. But here's something I do understand. The minute it came up about the 28 pages during the campaign, and that the victims, the families of the victims of 9/11, are not being allowed to sue the Saudi government,
right,
when the victims against the Iranian government were allowed to sue the Iranian government and are actually collecting on it,
mm-hmm,
in frozen funds. Yet you can't sue the Saudis, but you can sue the Iranians for almost exactly the same kind of misdeeds. But then immediately, CIA Director John Brennan comes out in an interesting, in a very short piece in the Associated Press. He says that the 28-page chapter, he just called it a chapter of the inquiry, it contains preliminary information about possible Saudi links to the attackers that hadn't been corroborated or checked,
yes,
at the time.
He was putting all that down, wasn't he?
Wait a minute. If it hadn't been corroborated or checked out at the time, why was it classified immediately?
Exactly.
That's just stupid arguments, okay? But then he goes on to say this. He said that the preliminary information made a very clear judgment there was no evidence indicated the Saudi government as an institution or Saudi officials individually financially backed Al-Qaeda.
Why would he say that?
Al-Qaeda didn't do it.
Unbelievable. Why did he say that?
It doesn't matter if you could say the Saudi officials didn't back Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda didn't do 9/11. Bin Laden didn't do 9/11. The Bush administration blamed Bin Laden, which was a perfectly sound judgment by the part of the Saudis. That's what they wanted to have happen, that the Bush administration would go after Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, their long-term enemies in the region.
And that's exactly what we did.
And we obediently did it. So now Brennan comes out and says that you'll find no evidence that they financially backed Al-Qaeda. That's the whole point, Brennan. We're saying Al-Qaeda didn't do it. That we're saying is the Saudis did it. He's saying you have no evidence that the Saudis backed Al-Qaeda. Of course not. They hated Al-Qaeda and they hated Bin Laden. He was an enemy of the state. So anyways, I guess my point here is we're never going to be told the truth by the system as it exists. And I know so many of you out there want Bernie Sanders to win. And I think Bernie, if he were to win, if Hillary were to just get overwhelmed, this book, for instance, overwhelms the Clintons with so much illegal criminal wrongdoing, so much selling of State Department votes to get arms to foreign governments that shouldn't have been armed, but if they gave money to the Clinton Foundation, they got Hillary's,
yep,
State Department to be armed. Now, these things are criminal. If that happens and Hillary loses, then we get Bernie. And I do believe Bernie is a sincere man.
Maybe that's why he's staying in.
I believe you're right. I think that is why he's hanging in there. This isn't. He's kind of like old school, like I am. It ain't over till it's over.
That's right.
I know that was a catcher with a Yankee.
One more question about Cruz, and I want to talk to you about these Russian jets that have been buzzing our planes. But why did Cruz get out? Because you think he ran out of money? Because you know, he could have hung in there and at least become an issue at the convention.
Well, what would have happened, Jeb Bush already went public a few days before that and said that he wanted, Jeb Bush came out public and said he wanted to see a contested convention. And that was meaning, Cruz, you have to stay in the race. And I don't think it was a money issue. It's never a money issue if it's a contested convention. I'm not going to blame him for this. I don't blame anybody for getting out of the race when it's going to get this ugly. Not everybody's made up of the stuff to do that kind of battle verbally when they start saying, you know, your father knew something about the JFK assassination,
right.
Your mother, when it starts getting ugly, a lot of people don't have a stomach for it. I've seen it too often. It affected the guy I worked with, Jack Metcalf. When things got ugly, it was very hard for him to stay in. And each election, every 2 years, no matter how ugly, because he was very much like Bernie Sanders in many ways. He's a very kind, Christian, loving man, father, very genteel, old school. But he had a tough crew backing him. He had some tough people on his crew, and they helped moderate some of that. So he stayed in the fight. I'd be very surprised if Bernie quit.
No, I don't think he will.
I think Bernie's a tough little bugger.
He's going to go to the convention.
He's going to take it to the wall.
Yeah, so will, and I don't know why he's in, but Kasich is going to take this all the way to the wall, too. Why?
Well, again, it's a lost cause, and if you're a man like I am, I suppose, I don't mind taking on lost causes. Isn't there a Catholic medallion for that, Saint somebody?
I'm sure there is.
Saint for lost cause. I'm pretty sure I fit into that category. So I don't have a problem with those kinds of people. But I do believe that the pot's been stirred, and Brennan just shot across the bow of everybody. Nobody's going to go after Saudi Arabia, no matter who's in the White House.
Oh, by the way, it's Saint Jude Thaddeus you're talking about.
Okay.
There you go. Well, we have all kinds of information here for you. So,
I think you're not going to see any fundamental change. I'm sorry to be the one guy that says it the way it is, but I can't bring myself to be popular by saying that good things might happen. I don't believe so. I don't believe the White House is built to take the ship of state and change its course.
No, I don't
think
so.
We already know, admittedly, your listeners have to know pretty well, that we are governed by a corporate global empire that has no relationship what happens here domestically.
Corporate taxes will get slashed even more, and then the average American will end up paying more.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
In the end, the people who pay will pay. And don't forget, brewing back in the woodwork is something that I've always talked about quietly amongst my own people, not always publicly. But if they want to silence the American people, if the American people get revolutionary, if the American people truly get fed up and they're in the streets, not only will Homeland Security and the military be there to make sure the violence doesn't spread, but they have it in the works. They're talking about it right now. This may be the first time some of your listeners have heard it, except that they've heard me before. There is a plan to grant everybody over the age of 18 a universal guaranteed income.
That is an interesting twist. Okay, Russian jets, why are they buzzing us? What's going on here?
I just watched Putin in a discussion forum in the European Union. It was translated, and I watched him for the full 20 minutes that he spoke. Vladimir Putin does not want a war with the West. He wants peace with the West. But I watched his body language and how he approached the issues. He's also telling the American people, if you're listening to him at all, you know, I do not want war. I want peace. I want America and Russia and China to sit down, talk to each other, come to an agreement, and see to it that all nations' national interests are discussed. All nations' national interests are discussed. Now, you and I know that that's not going on today. The corporate empire that's leading the Western hegemony throughout the world has no interest in what the people of Syria, Libya, the Congo, Nigeria, they don't care what anybody thinks.
See,
I don't care what the leaders think.
I think some Russian generals are taking over.
I don't think they're taking over. I think...
calling the shots?
No, I think Putin... Nobody calls the shots on Putin. Don't ever believe that story.
Okay.
Putin is fully in charge. But Putin will allow it to look as though, you know, maybe this particular general may have misunderstood, but he didn't. He got the message.
He got the message. I mean, they're buzzing us.
A message.
They're buzzing us on purpose.
Go to war.
He will if he has to.
Yes, he will go to war. And I think that is a real threat for the American people, because any kind of large, conventional, world-type war, whether it's Russia, China, or both, America will lose.
This time around.
We will lose this time around. First of all, why do you think John Kerry, for the first time in 8 years of the Obama administration, Kerry is out saying that he's not comfortable with an all-volunteer army any longer? He believes we should be looking at the draft.
Draft again.
And drafting young women at the same time. I guarantee you Trump will be really hard to manage if he's in the White House and they want to institute the draft. Now, that's the one thing that I know Trump could buck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough for Congress to go against him. Hillary, on the other hand, are you kidding me? She would love to see the draft, and she would love to see young women drafted and sent into combat. That's who she is.
I think the tensions between Russia and China towards us is going to get worse.
Yes, I agree, because... like I said, no matter who goes into the White House cannot change the direction of the corporate regime that already commands the control of the House, the Senate, and
now,
the Cabinet.
The regime that Eisenhower warned us about years ago.
Yes, that regime. The one that Dave Lincoln talked about as a corporate entity, that it would steal the rights of the people and use their money to seize control of the government. The oligarchy, Teddy Roosevelt said, was unabiding in his mind, that it could not function on American soil, because he saw wealth like Donald Trump's wealth, like Dick Cheney's wealth. He referred to them as enlarged pawnbrokers.
What now? What's going on with the whack job in North Korea? If Iran kept telling us we're going to obliterate you and sent us videos of nuclear explosions showing our cities blowing up, I think we'd do something about it. Why aren't we doing anything with this guy?
Well, because he has no capability of doing any of these things.
Today?
In his Middle Ages kind of thinking, he is very primitive in his thinking. It's what keeps him in power by keeping his own citizens cowed, that he's the only one that can save them. And they look to him in hero worship in that regard.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's just smoke and mirrors, and we're not taking it serious because, to be honest with you, I don't think China will ever let him get out of control. Ever.
Are we banking on that?
We don't have to bank on it. The corporate regime that controls most of the world right now is a Western corporate for-profit regime that China is in lockstep with. They do not have a problem with it. Their corporatism as state-owned enterprises is in perfect alignment of our corporatism here in the West.
So they let him play with his little missiles and let him do his thing.
Yeah, because it's also effective as of keeping America and Americans, the people, paying attention to him, the North Korean, as opposed to what's happening in the Pacific Ocean, in the islands, in the sea, Japan. That entire contested region with China is building up an enormous naval force to defend. And that's the one thing that bothers me of all. Nothing bothers me going on. I know what our regime is. I know what the corporatism has in mind for our future. I know Trump can't fix it. Hillary won't fix it. and Bernie Sanders will not make the election. But I do know this. China and Russia and India, South Africa, BRICS, Australia, maybe even Germany, are taking all of this very seriously. They are expecting a conventional war confrontation with the corporate regime that I'm describing, not with America, per se. It's not with you and I. There's no hatred towards the American people being discussed here. This is strictly at Russia, China, and other countries that have joined them in the BRICS nation. Those 11 nations, they're getting sick of being pushed around by this corporate regime that runs the Western Empire that does not represent America.
Unfortunately, we're going to get pulled in on it.
Yeah, because we're the ones that will get drafted and sent to war.
That's right.
That's the problem. But the American people will be lied to, and they will be told that this is something, you know, China and Russia against us as America. It isn't. Syria was a line in the sand. The Ukraine was a line in the sand against the corporate Western hegemony of the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the IMF, Bank for International Settlements, NATO, and the Pentagon acting as a spear point of that corporate regime. It's about that, not us, not America. It's about that. And if we don't grow up, and if we don't fix it ourselves as citizens, if we don't make Congress fix that, no president has that capability.
Don't you think it would have been easier for Assad to simply say, I'll be in the club, I'm okay with it, instead of fight it?
Assad didn't have any choice. He was about to go the way of Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein.
That's right. And he still may.
But Russia stepped in and said, we've had enough of American hegemony,
yeah,
conspiring for regime change in areas of the world that don't concern you. So stay out of Syria.
Russia saved his tail.
Yes, Russia saved his tail. But at the same time, Putin did say, I don't really care if Assad survives or not. This is not about Assad. This is about the national interest of Russia and the Syrian people. And he wasn't going to see another domino fall in the Middle East or North Africa because of Western corporate hegemony. In other words, Goldman Sachs, Halliburton, Brown & Root, General Electric, he said that's enough.
Enough. And you know what's so strange, Craig, and we're almost at the top of the hour. We'll talk about it again next hour. It seems like every country we get involved in, it gets screwed up later on. I mean, Iraq is still out of control. Car bombings, all this, it never ends.
That's because there was never an effort to do anything in behalf of the Iraqi people.
Nothing.
Assad's people, the Syrians, the people of Libya. The people are never part of this. There's no democracy in anybody's head, okay?
Craig, stay with us. We'll come back. Final hour. Phone lines are open, and we'll continue chatting with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. And Craig Hewlett, our special guest. We're going to take phone calls with Craig when we come back, and then open lines start next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with our friend Craig Hewlett, who does a remarkable job for us, absolutely remarkable. Craig, I hope you enjoy your appearances as much as we do.
I do, actually, and Kathy, as soon as your producer contacted us Monday to do the interview, she immediately had our producer in New York repost. We have like 300 copies left of the Hydra of Carnage, and she had him put them on sale for your audience for the month of May.
Great.
So, yeah, we get a lot of contact from your listeners.
They enjoy what you talk about, you know, because, you know, you're a no BS kind of guy. You're a straight shooter. And our audience is that way, too. Our listeners are, you know, that's what they want. They appreciate that.
Well, you know, I need to try to maybe explain something. Your producer our engineer just mentioned something to me while we were off the air. When I do research and analysis, it's something that I'm trained in that most people would never be trained in.
Mm-hmm.
It would never come up in even a law firm has people that are not trained the way I've been trained to do research and analysis. There's something in my analysis that might make some people uncomfortable. when I say things like, you know, no president can change the direction of the country, whether it's Clinton or whether it's Trump, what I'm saying in a broader sense that's well-researched and analyzed is that the pieces of the puzzle that are in place are not being tampered with because the corporate control is too large. And if that's not addressed, if that isn't addressed, like I just explained that John Brennan defending the release in the future of the 28 pages, he's saying that nothing in there says the Saudi officials individually financially backed Al-Qaeda. Well, my analysis said Al-Qaeda, in the first interview I did on Jim Bohannon, on the 20th of September, after 9/11, I told Bohannon and his audience that everything Bush Jr. said about Al-Qaeda was untrue, that they didn't even exist at that time in history as he described them. It was all untrue, and then a nation state was behind it. Until I could see that the truth of those kinds of things are becoming known to the public, and that there's congressmen and senators that will stand with the president on such issues, then nothing's going to change.
Nothing will change.
I don't care who you put in the White House. That's not the office of the presidency. They don't have that power.
What is your prediction for the next 4 years for whomever gets elected?
Things are going to get really, really ugly in North Africa. AFRICOM is going to expand. We're going to turn Africa into the Middle East. I think we're going to betray our allies. I think BRICS is going to grow. Russia is going to get stronger. China is going to start making moves against Japan and Taiwan. I think the world is going to get very, very ugly, but not a nuclear war. I don't believe anybody's crazy enough. MAD still exists, mutual assured destruction.
That's right.
Nothing's changed in that.
If they're suicidal, then something could happen.
Yeah. The one thing that bothers me the most, though, is the American people have not learned that the regime in power, the thing I talk about, I don't talk about what's going on, you know, your congressmen and senators passing laws that affect America. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the congressmen and senators owe their allegiance. They're obedient to the people that put them in power. That's why I call them civilian contractors. You think they're elected servants. Wrong. They work for a corporate regime that has absolute control of our foreign policy and therefore the effects of our domestic policy. Title of one of my chapters in the Hydra is Foreign Affairs Affects Domestic Policy. My area of expertise is in geopolitics and strategic analysis. And I'm telling you, the President of the United States does not have the power to change any of this. Only the Congress and the Senate can get together and change it because they're the ones that betrayed America with the White House approval. Every time they did it, the White House signed off on it. So the White House is just as guilty. But 535 congressmen and senators have violated their oath of office, betrayed the Constitution, abdicated their rule, and given it over to others. There should be no World Trade Organization. There should be no Federal Reserve System. Your congressmen and senators are supposed to be the ones that negotiate trade deals, not lawyers at the World Trade Organization.
Well, we've seen what happens to people who try to do away with the Federal Reserve.
And of course, why do you think Saudi Arabia orchestrated the attack on 9/11 on the WTO? That attack was on the corporate regime that I'm describing that America is obedient to now. We shouldn't be. Our national interests should come first. Just like Trump says, American people should come first in every issue. But what he's not admitting to, and he doesn't speak to the issue because I don't think he has any idea who runs this country yet. But if he gets elected...
He will.
He will.
He will. Let's go to the phones now. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Get us started. Thomas, you're on the air with Craig Hewlett.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Very well.
And thank you, Craig Hewlett, for everything that you do. The question that I had about 5 or 6 years ago, just off of the coast of Los Angeles, there was an underwater missile launch.
We think it was China, Thomas.
You think it was China?
Yep, sure do.
Okay, so it's like a Chinese submarine?
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Uh-huh. And I was wondering how that figures in terms
All right.
of geopolitics shooting across the bow, so to speak.
Craig, I'll let you chime in on this. Do you remember that episode?
Oh, yeah. Very, very clearly, yes. And I agree. I think it might have been China. It could have been Russia. But again, Putin has a better control of Russia than most people think. A lot of people that are skeptical, they think the oligarchy in Russia acts the same as our oligarchy, and it doesn't. But that's a different subject.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those kinds of missives that don't get explained by the White House to the American people, they're silenced quickly. And it's a shot across not our bow. It's, again, when you see foreign governments get angry at America, when you see the debates in Germany over espionage and surveillance of Merkel and her cabinet, when you see these things going on and you see foreign leaders talking against American leaders, I'm sorry to put it this way, but you need to read books on foreign relations. You need to start understanding that they're reacting to the corporate regime that they understand perfectly, like I do. They know who's behind what America looks like to you is doing in American interest when it isn't in America.
Why is President Obama trying to keep the European Union together?
Well, he's in. Obama has sold out on everything that he ever said he stood for. He's betrayed everything. And that is always my fear. Every time we have an election, whoever gets elected promises and then betrays the country.
And then betrays, no matter who it's been.
It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. And it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Hillary. Now, in Hillary's case, she has a better idea of who's actually calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many neoconservatives that supported George Bush Jr. support Hillary.
That's right.
Not Trump. They don't want to train Trump. She's already trained.
Is he? He probably isn't even aware of things like this. I mean, I wonder, has he ever been to the Bohemian Grove? Does he know what the Bilderbergs are?
Okay. All right, George, you did it. I worried that this was going to come up.
I had to.
Donald Trump does not have a clue who runs this country or the global regime that's in place. He's not of that caliber. And I can say this with
naive
tongue in cheek. And I'm sorry, if you're a Trump follower, it's going to sound insulting. I can't help
that. Well, but you're not trying to insult him.
No, Donald Trump hasn't read a nonfiction book in 35 years. He doesn't have a library in his home. He does not read, except the ghostwriters that wrote books about him. He reads them 7 times because he's a narcissist. But we have not had a better narcissist. Donald Trump would be a much better narcissist than George Bush Jr. was. He was a silly narcissist. But the truth of the matter is, Donald Trump hasn't got a clue, any more than Obama did, who runs the bloody world and who runs this country and running this country into the ground. But when he gets the nomination, he has about 30 days after the elections to January 20th. You'll see a change in Donald Trump, the same you saw in Obama.
Do they pay him a little visit? How do they tell him, hey, Donald, now that you're the nominee, this is how it goes?
Bill Hicks said it best, the comedian Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
He said every time a guy gets elected the president on the second Tuesday of November, the first thing that happens is they take him to the White House, they shake hands with the president that's leaving, and they take him down 11 stories to the basement. And they show it as a Zapruder film.
Oh, God.
It is brutal. I'm telling you, it's brutal.
I was laughing until that point. That's serious business, isn't it?
It really is brutal. And I saw the change in Obama, that cocky, young, I'm smart.
I'm going to change
black,
the world.
I'm good looking, and I'm black, and I'm going to get myself elected. On the day he took the oath, remember, he stuttered, stammered, he was sweating. And he blew it the first time.
Yeah.
He had to stop and do it again.
Oh, he wasn't the same guy.
He wasn't even the same person. And he's not now.
Charles in Baltimore, welcome to the show. Charles, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, Charles.
I'm going to say domestic issues, too. We're not going to make any real progress. The thing I like about Hillary is that she's the only candidate who spoke up in behalf of people with disabilities who are forced to work for in sheltered workshops,
sure.
And I've done that before.
Wow, she was smart enough to bring that up.
Right, she's smart enough to bring that up, that she agrees with us, the National Federation of the Blind, that people with disabilities should be treated equally. But I also don't think, you know, you hear these clergymen on the radio telling us to get right with God and all this. We're not going to change anything. And you know, these, I think that the Protestant church, maybe all churches, tend to have a corporate empire just like these multinational corporations.
Well, they're all for profit, let me tell you, even though they're supposed to be not for profit.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm arguing is that we have a constitution and we're a free republic. And even the most cynical leftists on the planet, at Berkeley and Boston and MIT, the most cynical of the left professors, and I've gone to their lectures. I've actually seen Henry Steele Commager talk for maybe an hour, and it was at a Council on Foreign Relations dinner. And I was a member at the time. I had joined the Houston branch as a corporate businessman. And I was embarrassed to be in the room how much that man hated this country and its founding. And all I can tell you is Hillary Clinton, Obama, George Bush Jr., and the Bush family, they hate how this country was founded, the Constitution, and the fact that it's a free republic based on democratic principles, collectively to a man and a woman. They hate that, and that is what has to be reinstated. That's what's been destroyed.
What will Bill Clinton's role be if Hillary gets elected?
I think he'll be booed everywhere he goes. I think people, in fact, you know what? I do know this demographically. Young women are not voting for Hillary Clinton.
No,
she's married to Bill.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It's going to be an interesting. I got to tell you one thing, Greg. As frustrating as all this has been, watching this all unfold, it's kind of exciting to watch.
Well, it is. It's kind of like, you know, if you're one of those Christians that believe in the end times, I mean, it could be a hoot. Me personally, I'm not afraid of the four horsemen. I'm going to shoot the first three. I'm just not worried about that.
The fourth might get you.
The fourth might get me. I always, you know, hold back one round for myself. I'm not that cocky. But no, the world is going to get fundamentally ugly under the next White House, whoever controls it, because the regime has now been sent a message. That's the thing that's happened that's more important than who wins. It doesn't matter who wins. We're not at a place that change can be made. But this country just sent the elite, the oligarchy, the very people that go to the Bohemian Club and have a cigar and 28-year Scotch, single malt in their hand, and they used to laugh at America. They're not laughing right now.
No,
they know
there's
a reason for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, and it is a lot of Americans are really fed up.
This is the Arab Spring in our own little way, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But unfortunately, we're not as well informed as most of the Muslims were in their countries about their regimes.
That's true. Let's go to Sherry in Memphis, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Hello, Sherry. You're up with us.
Hi. My question is, what about the financial crisis that people are saying is coming, the most severe that we've ever had? How do you factor that in to what you say? And the people in Iraq did vote, which led people to think they did try to establish a democracy. And I have a third question. You haven't talked about ISIS, and people of ISIS are willing to kill people and start a war, you know, whereas maybe Putin and China don't want a war. ISIS in the Middle East is.
All right, let's let you start with ISIS first, Craig,
okay.
And then we'll move our way.
You know, this is one of the things that I'm going to be doing for a very long time. ISIS was created with the help of the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia. The first members of ISIS were trained in Jordan. They are still being trained. There are American and British special ops training them, arming them, financing them. They were brought into fruition by this regime I'm describing. I'm not going to say the United States, you and I, America didn't do it.
No.
But the people that run our country and control what takes place in those areas of intelligence created ISIS.
I call them the puppet masters.
Exactly. They are puppet masters, and we really are the idiot puppets at this point. We haven't got a clue, most of us, that we created ISIS because we couldn't take out Assad of Syria because Russia stepped in and drew a line and said, no, you're not going to go in with American and NATO firepower and take Assad out like you did Gaddafi, Hussein, and Afghanistan, and everywhere else that we're doing.
Right.
And when that happened, they simply changed gears, and they created ISIS. We have a memo stating that creation, including the no-fly zones.
We've talked about their white tennis shoes and their new cars and their Humvees.
And we even know for a fact the State Department had to admit it because of an inquiry who sold them all those white Toyotas.
Yeah.
Every one of them identical, a whole fleet of them.
Where'd they come from?
The United States sold them to them. And we knew who they were. Why do you think they're dressed all the same and they're dressed like they are? It's a regime that's a false regime. It is a puppet regime to try to take out Assad. But they're also protected. The no-fly zones leave them areas to have a safe haven, to recoup, rearm, eat, sleep, rest up, and go back and fight again.
But the Russians are pounding them now.
That's the one thing that Putin is doing. Now you can understand Putin better. Putin isn't there to protect Assad. He's there to say, what America and the corporate regime is doing goes no further.
We're coming back for final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Couple more great announcements for you. First of all, in the greater St. Louis area, June 18th, my live stage show event at the Lindenwood University. Really looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, the band asked for the songs that we're going to play, so we shipped them off too. But some great guests, including UFO expert Stanton Friedman. Those of you who want to come by, and definitely, because we're going to do a huge meet and greet afterwards as well, just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and click on the information about the St. Louis event. There's also this website set up for you, 971-TALK, just the number, 971-TALK.com. And, of course, in August, I'm going to Asheville, North Carolina, for another live stage show event. Really looking forward to this one. August 27th, it's going to be a busy year. I'll be at the Diana Wortham Theater. And I'm going to give you a website in a second, but one of the guests who will be in Asheville will be none other than paranormal investigator Joshua P. Warren. This is going to be fun, Josh.
Oh, you know, George, there are two things that I want to stress to everybody listening right now. Number one is Asheville is one of the most beautiful places in the world. It is a world-class destination. It's bustling with things to do during the daytime and the nighttime. All you have to do is go to Google and search for Asheville, North Carolina, and you'll see what I mean. But the second thing is, this is going to be a one-time event. I mean, this is the only time you're going to be able to see all of us. You, me, Dr. Bill Forstian, Micah Hanks in one show. There's going to be electricity in the air. And you don't want to be the one who misses this event. So, and of course, we're working on lots of surprises. So this is going to be a truly unforgettable experience.
Super. Bring that wishing machine with you.
Oh, I think I'll have a good number of them there, and we'll just see how well they work on stage, maybe.
You got it, my friend. Josh, I'm going to give out a website here and a toll-free number, and that is 828-257-4530, or a website set up for you. It's a small venue. It's very comfortable and small, so it's going quickly. Tickets are already going out the window. Go to DW Theater. You spell theater this way with the T-R-E, okay? It's DW Theater, theatre.com. Josh, we'll see you then, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Oh, we're back. Our final segment with Craig Hewlett before we have open lines later on tonight. So, Craig, as you look in your crystal ball over the next year or two, you really still believe that things are going to be a little tense, don't you?
Well, the one caller that asked about the financial crisis
yeah.
that's looming.
And it is looming.
It is. There's no way. Right now the Fed is keeping interest rates low. They always do during an election. They never want to interrupt an election with raising interest rates because the shock value would change everything they think, the elite think, that they can control. And I have two ways of answering that, okay? One is going to sound like self-interest. I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to do this. If anybody does buy the Hydra this month, the Hydra of Carnage,
mm-hmm.
I will send them two white papers that we just produced for our client base. I produce 100 to 500-word articles, packages. They're called white papers for my clients every week. And the last two that I've just produced, I think, are the two most important ones I'll produce this year. I will send those to whoever purchases the book. If they give Kathy their email address, I'll send it to them for free. The lady that called in and asked the question, if she'll call Kathy and give her her email address, I will send her a paper specifically on that, including my articles, on the topic of bail-ins, because I think that's going to happen as soon as the next president takes office.
Well, we can't bail out, so how do we bail in?
Bail in is what the government is now looking at. The OECD and the World Bank, the IMF, started it about 8 months ago. It became a policy paper all over the world in financial institutions. And a bail in is based on the fact, and it is a fact, that the money in a bank, like Goldman Sachs, the money in a bank at Chase Manhattan, your deposits in that bank is their money, by law. I know that sounds improbable, but it also happens to be true. The law says that the money, it's a savings account, whether it's your pension fund, whether it's your checking account, you put that money in one of these banks, it's theirs.
It's theirs.
If they get in trouble financially, they can legally, that's what a bail-in is, they can legally take 10 to 20% of their depositors' money.
And you're out. And you're out. It's gone.
Whether it's savings, 401k, it could be your pension
fund. A CD?
Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
They could take it, and that's it. It'll happen over a four-day bank holiday. You will not be aware of it until Tuesday morning, and there is absolutely nothing you can do because as it stands, that's legal.
And Sherry also asked a question about Iraq. She said it seems to be Democratic. They're voting. Isn't Iraq crumbling?
Iraq is in worse shape than Libya right now. Yeah, they tried to have elections, but the elections were rigged, just like in Afghanistan. Only one person ever wins, and that's who the CIA selects. What you hear in your daily news diet of the mainstream media, please go to my website and look at who controls 98% of everything you hear, read, and see. Six major corporations who cross directorship with every bank, defense contractor. It includes MIT, Goldman Sachs, all sitting on each other's board of directors. That has been completely lost on the American
Interesting
people.
Club. Ed in Philadelphia. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my
sure
call.
Sure thing.
3 points, if I may. Mr. Hewlett, with all due respect, you mentioned you believe that Donald Trump is friends with the Bush family.
I know he is.
He repeatedly lambasted Jeb, his father, and his brother at nearly every debate.
Yes, I know. Isn't he clever?
In 2007 and 2008, Trump advocated George Bush Jr.'s impeachment for the ridiculous war in Iraq. You claim that Trump isn't aware of the Matrix, Bohemian Grove, and the alleged Illuminati, when in fact none other than Alex Jones speaks to Donald Trump and claims that Trump is more knowledgeable about the New World Order than even he was.
Well, you know what? You can believe whatever you want, and that's fine. I'm not going to contest it.
Also, you have absolutely no proof that Israel helped create ISIS, other than what your Jordanian friend parrots every time you talk to them.
I didn't talk to any Jordanians at all.
On the last show, you said you get all your information from a Jordanian friend.
I have never said I got my information from any Jordanian friend, and I don't have any Jordanian friends. You know what you are, sir? You are what is called a sock puppet.
No, I'm not a sock puppet.
Yes, you are, because I've never spoken of any Jordanian in my life. I know no Jordanians.
All with ISIS. You're just
I have never spoken to anybody that's Jordanian.
Ed, let me ask you, where did you get that? Ed is hung up.
Oh, well, you asked him where he got it.
And then he's gone.
No, he is. That is.
I've never heard you talk about a Jordanian friend.
I have never. I don't have any Jordanian friends. And by the way, that argument about ISIS, I'm sorry, if you don't know who's been making that argument besides Craig Hewlett, then you need to get informed. I didn't start that dialogue.
Well, and I have to say this about Trump. If you even thought about running for the presidency in the future, and I'm talking about years ago, knocking the Bushes at a point where everybody couldn't stand them was probably pretty smart.
He knew what he was doing. He has been a Bush family friend for decades. He backed him. He endorsed him. And he admits to that. The fact that he is bashing, he's running for president. He's going to lie. You think this guy is going to tell you the truth of everything that he knows and believes? Or is he going to say what it takes to get elected the same as everybody else? Please, please, put him on a pedestal. I guarantee you, 3 years into his administration, you're going to feel as betrayed as all those people that voted for Obama and George Bush Jr. before that.
Let's go to Dolores in Hamburg, New York. Hi, Dolores. It's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi. A couple of quick questions here.
Sure.
Well, actually, three. The papacy, the United Nations, how that's going to factor in. And the other thing that I was very concerned about was the fact that the land and water of this country is being taken over by, little by little, encroached on by the corporate America interests. Could you speak to that, please?
Yeah, I think the most important part of your last statement, the country buying up a great deal of America's farmland throughout the Northwest, the Southwest, the Rust Belt, and they're not buying up the land to turn it into farming or grazing. They're buying up the land in America for the water rights, and that's Saudi Arabia. How a president of the United States like Obama, and then Trump's going to have to deal with it. Let's see what Trump does if this comes down. Because Saudi Arabia is buying up American farmland for the water rights because they have to ship it over to Saudi Arabia because they are running out of the most important thing in the world isn't oil or gold. It's water.
It's water, and big wars will be fought over water.
Big wars will be fought over water. That's who Saudi Arabia is. And that's why everybody in our government will lie through their teeth to protect Saudi Arabia and the fact that we helped create ISIS.
And it backfired on us, didn't it?
I think it did, yes, because Putin stood up and said, yes, look, there was a plan. In fact, that'll be the paper I'll send. Anybody that buys the book, I'll send this paper to them, okay? It's extractions from a strategic cultural foundation that works on a global scale. The thing that they're talking about most seriously is how Putin has reacted to the global regime and why. Is he doing it because he wants war? Absolutely not. We're facing the Russians because the corporate regime that's running our government runs the 535 men and women of the House and the Senate. That regime has a global plan that Russia and China doesn't fit. Now, in 1990, when they implemented that plan that was based on a trilateral commission task force report, which I have it copies of, I put it in the paper, I discuss it in the Hydra, when that plan was implemented, I said it will not work. George Bush Sr. was wrong. He hosted the meeting, they adopted it, and they've been following through. Wesley Clark has even gone public and endorsed that part of my argument, that it was decided seven nations would fall, one right after the other, and the ultimate target is Iran.
And let me ask you this, Craig. In order for ISIS to exist, it needs to be well-funded, and it's well-funded. It's got money. And if you have money, then you have to have a bank that holds your money. Why haven't we seized those assets?
Well, see, that has been discussed by none other than Putin. And I argued it on your show right after it took place. There was a meeting held. The G20 meeting was held in Turkey. At that meeting of the G20, it went to hell in a handbasket because Putin stood up, presented proof of who was buying ISIS oil. He had satellite photography. He named the American citizens that were party of it. He named the government agency. He had photographs of the vehicles being used to take the oil, cross it over into Turkey. Not one word of that was ever discussed in the American press, even though it was a Reuters article that first broke the story. The Reuters article, the author that wrote it, he did a study for 3 weeks to see if that article, that story, ever broke anywhere in the West.
There's a major bank somewhere funding ISIS.
That's correct. What do you think? Do you think they're like organized crime, the Bloods and the Crips? They deal in cash in dirty suitcases? No, this is a global operation that is banked, funded, orchestrated to unseat those leaders in those nation states.
That's right.
That Russia is now interfering with that corporate regime's ability to do.
Somebody who put this together probably watched a James Bond movie and realizes they're Spectre and they're the evil villains, and they put it together based on like a movie.
It is kind of like a movie, but I'll repeat, it's on my website. There's a 9-page Defense Intelligence Agency document that was leaked by WikiLeaks that outlines exactly what I've described was going to take place in Syria, and it has.
All right, a couple more calls, and then we are done with Craig for the night. West of the Rockies, Tom in Riverside, California. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, thanks, George. Craig, I'd like to ask you a few questions. If Trump gets in there, and you're saying that Trump is pretty much, I don't know why. Why is he going in there? He's a billionaire. What's he dedicated to? If he's not dedicated to the American way, and I'm not talking about our government because that's a tricky question, our government. I ran into that the other night saying our government. When I say our government, I mean the whatever's taken over our government now. What's he getting out of this? Also, I wanted to mention, we're heading into this technology thing that was a topic the other night, and you can't even make a phone call in this country, and it's a crime, really. There should be pay phones all across this country for safety purposes alone. Another point I want to make is as far as draft goes, every person should be drafted. That was a big problem that went away. The draft went away. It's not a big problem that went away, but it's a problem because the American people must be involved into the wars. They wanted the American.
All right, let's get some comments from him because we're almost out of time, Tom, and I want to get his reaction to some of your questions.
Okay, well,
let's start with
the draft. If Donald Trump institutes the draft, I think he'll be pretty heavily criticized that his lawyer, as soon as he was a young man, handed $1 million by his daddy to become that billionaire. He also filed bankruptcy 4 times like an organized crime casino owner would do to make sure that he kept the money and nobody else got paid. He filed bankruptcy 4 times in 30 years. And he also didn't serve his country during Vietnam. He didn't get drafted, didn't get a call-up, nothing because of his lawyer. His lawyer being Roy Cohn. From the McCarthy era.
Oh, yes.
Roy Cohn, the lawyer to the mob. That's who was Donald Trump's mentor. So if you think Donald Trump is this pristine American that earned his money by hard work and dedication, pulled up by his bootstraps, you're wrong. You're just dead wrong. Every 7 years, like clockwork. And by the way, no other corporate man in the history of American capitalism has ever done that.
If you have to pick Trump or Hillary, are you going to pick one?
No, I'm going to vote for Bernie. And if Bernie doesn't get the nomination, I'm going to vote for George Nuri.
Craig, my friend, thanks again for being on the program. Give out your website again in the book, The Hydra of Carnage, that deal. What's the deal for
Craig people? CraigBHewlett.com, H-U-L-E-T is how it's spelled, not Hewlett-Packard. The book is The Hydra of Carnage. And I really think you might want to read about the international guerrilla war that America is actually facing, and that's what we're dealing with now on a worldwide scale.
All right. You touch a lot of nerves, and a lot of people don't want to hear this, but they have to, don't they?
Thomas Paine said, if you're not ready to make enemies by telling the truth, then you should shut up.
Just like that. Craig, talk to you next time, my friend.
Thanks.
Craig Hewlett. Well, let me tell you what I like about Craig Hewlett. Whether you agree with him or not, and this is a program where you get that, whether you agree with someone or not, at least they have the right to say it. Whether the caller who confronted him, he has a right to say that too. But I've got to tell you, the guy has guts. Up next, 2 hours of open lines on Coast to Coast AM.